This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This 2026 in Milano Cortina, Italy, the Olympics transitioned into the Paralympics, where Northern BC was actually represented by one athlete, Adam Kingsmill of Smithers, British Columbia, who currently resides in Calgary, Alberta. While the goaltender ultimately took home silver in the para ice hockey finals, one has to wonder what's involved in the journey between simply wanting to play adapted hockey to going all the way to the Paralympics on the international stage. To give us a behind-the-curtains perspective, over the line today, we're connecting with our guest, Rob Stiles, the Director of Programming and President of Northern Adapted Sports Association, or NASA, a wing of Engage Sport North, an organization that helps athletes achieve excellence in their sport, in their field. And if you've seen a Northern BC Olympian competing, chances are they've had something to do with Engage Sport North. That's how this type of thing happens. Now, Rob, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for calling in. You're in Fort St. John.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in Fort St. John today conducting some programming for NASA. Before I get into it, where do you typically reside? Where do you call home?
I'm based out of Prince George. If anyone's in Prince George, they've probably seen us doing certainly the wheelchair sports at the university. That's where a lot of our stuff is based out of. But much like, you know, Engage Sport and NASA, 100 mile house up. So a huge geographic area.
Absolutely massive as Northern BC is. You do a lot of traveling with your work. Now, Adam Kingsmill, who's our Paralympian from Smithers, who's competing in Italy right now. They're actually, Team Canada is playing China at this moment. We'll see how that game goes, and best of luck to him. You didn't actually personally work with Adam, but it's a nice segue and an opportunity to talk about how excellence in athleticism develops in Northern BC. And I'm curious, what does NASA do to help athletes achieve the next level? I mean, obviously, people need an interest in sport to get into it, but when they find out, oh, they're actually quite good and could get to competition level, where do you step in? What happens?
Well, we actually step in right before that. So one of the big problems when it comes to para sports is just all of the additional barriers that you have to getting into that and even knowing about it. So what we find is certainly, Adam's an example of someone who was injured very early, but you also have those congenital disabilities where there's so much else happening when people are very young that maybe the sports and the physical activity is not what anyone is thinking of. You know, there's a lot happening, there's a lot to deal with. The school system as it is tries their best, but they don't necessarily have that capability to even introduce like PE classes for someone with a disability. Across the board, whether that's physical or even intellectual, is very, very, very hard. And then if you're older and you get injured, you maybe get some sort of introduction when you're at rehab in, say, Vancouver at GF Strong. But when you come back to community, you really don't have any of that. So we're right there, right from the get-go, the awareness piece. We run programming across the north. I travel all over. We work in schools. We bring out adapted equipment so that absolutely everyone can join in. We can have a go at it. And then once people have got that, then we worked with that individual, with that family, to facilitate all the way through. So I just got back from the BC Winter Games where wheelchair basketball takes place. As an adapted sport, we had a range of able-bodied and physically disabled individuals playing there, which is sort of the junior level up. And then we'll support you right the way through with that, you know, equipment and high level coaching and strength and conditioning and all of the fun stuff that really comes in once you start getting to really high level athletics.
So your organization is purely volunteer driven. It's a nonprofit organization, and that's Northern Adaptive Sports, but you are connected with Engage Sport North, sharing equipment and getting funding, things like that. It's a labor of love that you all participate in this with. You're in Fort St. John right now, conducting some programming with some of the schools there. What is the goal of this? Is it simply involvement, just to get youth and people involved in sport in general?
Yeah, so I'm up here. We actually have a mix of stuff going. So I have wheelchair sports days regularly in a variety of communities. So Fort St. John, it's every month. So that was last Wednesday, but I'm in Dawson Creek tomorrow for Have a Go Wheelchair Basketball, and Sunday for Para Ice Hockey. So I tend to come into a community and work a whole load of things in the evenings and the weekends, and then with the schools as well. I'm off west next week, so I'm in Smithers and Terrace and Rupert next week doing the same kinds of things. I think we have Wheelchair Rugby doing a tour through next week. So
keeping busy. When we're looking at kind of the state of sport in Northern BC, how well represented are we with athletes participating at a high level in Winter Paralympics? Do we have many people represented?
Well, the Winter Paralympics is quite small anyway, so we're not really well represented there, which is one of those things. People are like, oh, it's nuts, we're in the north, you know, we have a cold climate, clearly we should be. But in many ways, it's actually very understandable. So if you do think of an individual with a physical disability, congenital or acquired, they already have all of these wonderful barriers for life. As someone, my wife actually uses a wheelchair, so I can say that winter is not her favorite time of the year. So you already have that, you know, the snow is a pain for those of us that have to walk through it and shovel it. It's the next level up if you've got to try and push a wheelchair through it, for example, or use a walker through it. So we already have that kind of additional barrier. So you have to get past that to then get on there. So the fact, weirdly, we had two goalies. So we do have Adam Kingsmill playing. Maggie Manning, who is actually the goalie for the women's team, was not a Northerner, but she was at UMBC. And we actually introduced para ice hockey to her. So strangely, we're quite well represented in the goalie department, and we have individuals out there. So we have people that are trying. We have Paranordic equipment. We have the Paranordics that come to Caledonia Nordic Ski Club as well. So there is that start, but it is very, very tricky, and there is a lot to work through on that. We are slightly better represented in the summer Paralympics. We have a few athletes up here in the north that do that. But again, there's such a lot of additional barriers to that. And once it gets to training at a high level, if you happen to be in a team sport, there's all that additional need for people to play with. So there is always that struggle. As a whole, like I can speak from my day job hat with Engage, the Northern BC is actually extremely well represented in Olympics and high level sport and Paralympics. We punch well above our weight. So we should be proud of that.
I'm going to presume that one of the reasons we do have two Paralympic goalies is because we have hockey rinks in a lot of our communities. That's a facility that Northern BC actually has in a number of communities. But we spoke to some of the barriers that are there. But what is actually enabling some of the successes of seeing our Northern athletes get to these high levels?
Well, it comes down to two things, and it's sort of the same as in the able-bodied world. There's a support structure, and be that, you know, families is often the big thing. But, you know, I don't want to blow my own horn, but there are some of us that are out there volunteering as well and going out of our way to supply that support. If you are going to make that top level, probably in anything, but I'm in the sport world, so certainly in sport, having that support around you and to help you, and that knowledge base is super helpful. We do also have history. We have people willing to pass that on. So those that have already been down that route, there may only be a few of them, but they're quite able to come back. They understand, and they have a peer element of understanding what it's like in the north and those additional levels that maybe someone in Vancouver doesn't necessarily understand, not having to go through that in quite the same way. Mm-hmm. And we do now, you know, we've been very fortunate. NASA is in, it's coming up to its 10th year now since we started taking it on. There were groups before us. But we have been very, very well supported by grants mainly, but by companies, by individuals. And we've built a quite good inventory of equipment, because one of the biggest issues you do have is just the cost of equipment. And for those who take their kids to hockey or play hockey themselves, we know how expensive that is. We have for hockey, for example, you have all of that, and you need the additional equipment in terms of the sled. And, you know, a basketball, for example, is all you need to play basketball. But you do need a whole wheelchair if you're going to play wheelchair basketball, and that's $5,000-$7,000 on top. So it's that, you know, addition. That's just to try the sport, right? So we have managed to grind that support structure across the board up here in the north, and long may it continue, and that will continue to be a source for further excellence going forward.
The Olympics themselves are such a big deal on the world stage. And the Paralympics also are, you know, the highest event within Paralympic sport that we get to witness. It's televised nationally, globally. It's one of those events that's actually hard to ignore, even if you don't care about it at all. It still manages to be in your face for a time. And it's unbelievable that there is, you know, anyone at all in Northern BC represented in these sports competing at such a high level. And I think it's revelatory to many to realize and understand just the amount of volunteer capacity and commitment that's required to make that happen. It doesn't all cascade down from one large corporate sponsorship and now we're there. It requires years and years of input from not just the athlete, but a lot of committed people around them. My question to you in that regard, what work does your organization have to do to recruit volunteers and get people involved in what you're doing and your passion?
It's a very strange situation, because when we do get people involved, they're usually in it for the long term, and they usually realize that more than just making a difference, because I think there is that view that, you know, people want to make a difference in individuals' or groups' lives. It's actually great fun. So a lot of the time, we actually need people to play. So a big thing that we have is that, you know, we have a lot of equipment. It does require getting out. There's often, you know, certain individuals will require a little bit more time to get ready. And if we have one volunteer there and that's all we have, and they're spending all of their time getting person A into whatever that may be, a sit ski or a sled or whatever, then everything else has to wait. So there is that sort of part of it. But we often just need people. And that's where it becomes actually the most tricky. We almost have, especially in the team sports, view that people don't want to get involved because they think they're taking away opportunity, when actually they're actively providing opportunity. Like, we have a wheelchair basketball team in Prince George that's going to finals in a couple of weeks and off to nationals after that. They do have able-bodied athletes that join in with that. And if it wasn't for those able-bodied athletes, the 2, 3, 4 people that do have a physical disability are never going to be able to do that team sport, unless they, you know, want to move, which is the other option. It's, that's what happened with like an Adam Kingsmill. There's not enough people playing para ice hockey in the north to guarantee that those people. So he has to relocate, in his case, to Calgary, to a completely different community. So our biggest problem is actually getting people to come out and join in. Once they do, they usually think, hey, it's kind of fun. And it's a really great group, you know, fully inviting. We're all ages. We're fully inclusive. It's part of the awareness part of things. That's where we actually really struggle. That, I mean, we do get volunteers that want to help because they're doing a degree in a, you know, a medical field, and they want to be out. But it's like, no, we need people to come and play and to join in with everything, to just help grab stuff. And that's where we really struggle, is getting those extra numbers out.
Can our audience take that as an invitation to come and join one of your leagues or the next event that you've got happening? Excellent. What is the next event happening in Prince George area that people could potentially get involved in?
Okay, so Prince George, we are always free for the first three anyway. So if anyone wants to try absolutely anything, it's always free. We actually have a deal with UNBC as well. So if you're students or faculty, it's free. No matter what you do, you can come out to everything all the time. We have para ice hockey on Sundays at Kin 1, and we have wheelchair basketball on Mondays. We have two sessions at the university at the sports center, 4:30 till 6 and 8 till 10. And we also have wheelchair rugby on Wednesdays, 7 till 8:30. They're open to everyone, and people are more than welcome. If you want to try something a little bit different, we do a lot of individual sports, and we do summer sports as well. We have adapted kayaks and hand cycles, and we have paranordic skis. We do para badminton. We do wheelchair tennis. We have wheelchair track. So we've got a bit of everything in there. People are always welcome to give me a shout, give me a call, or contact me, programs@northernadaptedsports.ca. We're always happy to have people, any age, any gender, any ethnicity, any person.
Wonderful. And you also have an AGM coming up. Are people able to get involved in that as well?
Yeah, I haven't fixed the date yet, so you can't plug it that well. But you, people are more than welcome to reach out. We're always looking for interested folks. So the more the merrier is what I always say.
Keep your ear to the ground, folks. All right.
Absolutely.
So we're speaking to Rob Stiles, Programming Director and President of NASA, or Northern Adapted Sports Association. Have a great rest of your day, and thanks so much for your time, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You as well. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.